And with me in the KRVS studios this afternoon are co-director and founder of Wanderlust Theatre Company, Elsa Dimitriadis. Also, Patricia Drury Sidman, who is appearing in a new play that Wanderlust is putting on, directed by Elsa, called We All Do. And I hope that many people in our listening audience have had a chance to see these lovely posters and flyers that you all have around town. These hands. Who designed it, Elsa?
I did it in cooperation with Brady McKellar, my co-director.
It's really a lovely, arresting image there. And Patricia Sidman, as we said, is the left ring finger in the well, the way you have all the actors on the different fingers on the two hands. And anyway, the play We All Do is an original play by Jaron Schechsnyder. And people in our audience are familiar with her name. She's been on KRVS a few times talking about her work. This is an original play. Tell us a bit about it, Elsa, and why you chose this play, why Wanderlust wanted to produce and direct the play.
Well, Jaron has worked with us for several shows in a row now, and she's just a lovely collaborator, and she brought me her piece and said, you know, no pressure, but if you would take a look at it. And I was immediately struck by how well it would fit into our season. It's a piece about a woman named Charlie who has had some difficulties maybe maintaining some relationships, and really anthropomorphizes the nature in her environment and makes it her friends. And so I read it and thought it was a beautiful, very, very smart piece. And as did Brady McKellar. And we decided that absolutely it would be a part of our season.
Well, Charlie is the only human being,
yes,
in the play.
Yes.
And my guest, Patricia, is not the left ring finger, but she does play Charlie. although that may be one of the more important fingers in that image. Patricia, what was your reaction when you first read the play or heard about the character?
I was really intrigued, and I love the play. It is funny and touching and beautiful and real and intense, and I just thought, this would be great to do. It's unlike anything I've ever done before.
Sounds like a plum of a part.
It's wonderful.
And you've become very involved in theater since you've moved to our community a couple years now?
Couple years, yeah.
Doing all kinds of things, your own storytelling presentations. You've been in several plays. Mm-hmm. And so you're quite comfortable with plays. You know a lot about them. So for you to react to that part like that says a lot about it. Now, what does it do to a character to be the only human in a play? How do you prepare yourself for that?
I just try to connect to what is in front of me, mm-hmm. which in this case, I mean, they're portrayed by humans, mm-hmm. but they are not human. Mm-hmm. And I just run the story in my mind. Just what if I were looking at a deer? What would I be thinking? And as I'm listening to this voice, what if I'm imagining a deer saying that? So I'm picturing a stag with, you know, everything while a person is speaking on stage.
Mm-hmm. And I guess that's not so unusual. I mean, we can think of lots of Walt Disney movies where there's generally one human being and lots of little creatures around them that they're interacting with. You know, and that's certainly on a lighter, more childlike way. Well, describe your character, because she's obviously very central to this smart, funny play that you're both talking about. What kind of a person is she?
Well, she's a loner, as Elsa said. I see her as somebody who has kind of dropped out of human community, mm-hmm. isn't particularly interested in reconnecting with humans, and who in the course of the play, her sense of connection to the things around her deepens considerably. It's there at the beginning of the play, but it changes in shape, and there are some very moving scenes that I think bring out some deep emotions from Charlie. And she's an interesting character to play. For the most part, I don't have much to say. I have to do it without speaking most of the time.
And is this because the creatures don't speak? Is there a lot of choreography?
No, there's a great deal of movement. Elsa can tell you more about that. Okay. It's told with movement as much as with words. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the scenes, I just say one word. And then I'm an observer. I'm always on stage. Charlie's always in the scene. but she's not always doing anything in the scene. She may accept really being connected to it.
Well, Elsa, tell us about this, because obviously you reacted to the play very positively, but you must have known that there was not a lot of dialogue in the play. How did you start thinking about putting together this play and dealing with these interesting relationships?
Jaren gave me the piece as she had done it in the past, and then a handful of additional scenes. And she said, this is a puzzle. You put it together, the order of the scenes, how you see fit, and include the scenes you want to and don't include the scenes that you don't want to. And Charlie was actually not specified as an age or whether it was a male or a female character. And so I just had auditions, and I figured that I would get people who are interested in doing movement-based theater and then see what I could do with that, you know. And I had great feedback. Patricia came to auditions and was fabulous. And I thought, why not make Charlie, you know, an older woman, you know, who has experience, who informs the stories with her life experience. And it's really worked out beautifully. But what's important about Charlie and the character of Charlie, we were talking about this last night, is that when the audience feels like, wow, this is different watching Cloud speak, Charlie is who they'll identify with, because Charlie is their grounding point. You know, they're going to be watching to see how does Charlie react to what she's imagining and seeing in front of her. Mm. So it's really a vital role, although it does have few lines in comparison to the other characters.
Well, if you're just tuning in, hearing about this play, we're talking about the play We All Do, written by Jaren Schechtsnyder. It's being produced by Wanderlust Theater Company, directed by Elsa Dimitriadis. Now, Wanderlust Theater Company, you know, anyone who's seen your recent productions, Monster Tales, Neil Gaiman's Wolves in the Walls, knows that you're pretty comfortable with unusual relationships in a play, you don't mind that they're not all human beings speaking to each other as we might expect a play to do. You don't mind characters and clouds, animals. Tell us, and again, remind our listeners about your work with puppetry what do you call it? You have a special name for that. Is it movement theater?
Object theater,
yes.
I think that we just have an affinity for being able to characterize things that aren't realistic. And I think because that seems accessible to us, the material that we pick, even for shows that don't have puppetry in them, still tend to be quirky or maybe a little bit more imaginative than other, you know, straight theater, for mm-hmm. lack of a better term.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, and just before we started this interview, we were talking about how similar, it's not just because of the non-human objects, these plays have been recently, this summer and fall, that Wanderlust has been doing, this projection of a human's thoughts, dreams, fears, and how they become alive, anthropomorphized or otherwise. And you thought that was interesting.
It was completely unintentional, and I don't think that we noticed it until this piece, mm-hmm. and we really mm-hmm. started to explore it, that it has been three women in three different stages of their lives who, for whatever reason, and they're very separate and different, but all seem to be identifying or creating things outside of reality to supplement what's going on in their reality. And so it's been interesting, you know, and completely unintentional.
Well, that's a nice way to put it, supplement and not replace or destroy one's own reality. How do you feel about that, Patricia, that idea that these are supplementing your life, these creatures? And they're not just creatures. You mentioned clouds.
So cigarette butts.
Anything in nature outside of yourself.
And cars and trash cans and, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. and trees. And
mm-hmm. How do they supplement your life?
I think for Charlie, they become the screen on which she watches life unfold. Mm-hmm. I love that word, supplement. I hadn't mm-hmm. heard that mm-hmm. before, and I think that's exactly it. My take on Charlie is that the things she's encountered prior to this play and prior to this part in her life weren't particularly fulfilling, and she's finding much more satisfaction and fulfillment and connection and community with all of these things that are in her world now, even though they're not human. So it is supplementing that loner life that she had come to live.
Mm-hmm. Although that seems to be part of our culture these days, the interest in Zen and meditation and this idea that we should be more attentive to the world around us, and that includes the natural world. But you're taking it to another level here.
It's interesting. I think that certainly now, even as I'm progressing through my day, you do. You see cigarette butts, and you think about who smoked them, and what was going through those people's minds when they lived the life of their cigarette, you know, mm-hmm. and it's been very interesting. But mm-hmm. you're right, you know, just kind of identifying and taking the time to experience everything and every object in your environment.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Almost telescoping the individual experiences of that object and who related to them, and
right,
very interesting. And I mean, it brings to mind too, there's so much discussion these days of parallel universes, and it's not exactly the same thing, but that idea of, you know, what other lives do these creatures, these objects live when they're not in your purview?
And you also said some of it is projection, mm-hmm. and it is. A lot of it is, I take to be memories of Charlie's, mm-hmm. that she's seeing something out there behaving in a way that brings the memory forward, so mm-hmm. she projects it onto those things. Mm-hmm. It's all sorts of things, but this environmental nature of it really appealed to me. That was one of the things that made me excited about the play. Mm-hmm. You know, I think I've been talking to trees for decades. this is not new.
You felt very comfortable in that role. Has it, so you have been talking to trees for a long time, but has it broadened your experience with nature now? Because we're talking about objects other than just trees, which we think of having kind of a spirituality, but objects like cigarette butts or, I don't know.
I'm still not very attracted to the cigarette butts, I must admit, but I am more attuned to what's around. I've had the same experience Elsa has of going through the world and saying, look at that. Look at the way that bird is flying. I wonder what's going through the bird's mind, you know, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's talk about some of the actors and actresses who play these different objects, and maybe you can list some more of the objects in addition to the cloud, cigarette butts. Who else is in the play?
Well, we have a cast of 8 ensemble members, and it's Aaron Broussard, Aaron Chasson, Stephen Cooper, Jen Aaron Corzo, Andrew Hunter, Desiree Noriega, Brady McKellar, Jaron is actually in the piece as well, and then Patricia. And it's been lovely because they're all quite seasoned. Most of them are teachers themselves. And so it's been able to be very much a thinking process, a very scholastic process. We're doing movement-based theater, and some people have had experience with that, and some people haven't, and it's been a lovely experience. It's been unique having the playwright also in the room, mm-hmm. Unique and challenging, you know, it's just such a smart show. It's just smartly written. It's made my job pretty easy.
Mm. The smart show that Elsa is talking about is We All Do, written by Jaron Schechsnyder, who appears in the play. It's being produced by Wanderlust Theater Company. Elsa is co-founder of Wanderlust, along with Brady McKellar. She is directing the play, and it will open next Wednesday on the 12th of December. Well, these actors that you mentioned play multiple characters.
Yes.
We call them characters. So tell us some more of these natural characters who appear in the play.
They open as leaves, mm-hmm. and it's interesting because they're all on stage together, and they speak about what their experience has been going from a really beautiful green leaf to now having been let go by their tree. They become street lights, and they discuss what it's like being stationary and unable to move, and why are they there, and why are they next to the person that they're next to. And then there's several characters that are through lines through the piece in addition to Charlie. And you see the life of a tree and the bark and their relationship between the bark and the heartwood. And also a trash can, who is beautifully, brilliantly played by Andrew Hunter.
And he remains a trash can throughout.
He is a trash can who loves his trash. Mm-hmm. And he has a beautiful relationship with Charlie. And sad and lovely and it's a great piece. It really is.
I'm sure there are many people out there wondering how you costumed all of these people. That must have been a tremendous task.
It really they wear it's movement based, so mm-hmm. we really rely on their physicality.
Okay,
and so they are a troop. I call them a band of warriors mm-hmm. who come in to personify everything in Charlie's life. So we don't really rely on costume changes. Mm-hmm. It's really just about the movement and the relationship with Charlie.
So they don't have signs that say tree,
not
trash
at all.
Can.
We rely on Charlie for that.
All right. So some of the words that you do use help to indicate to us.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I may identify what it is we're looking at. Mm-hmm. This is birds, or that's right. clouds, or mountain.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't want to give away your relationship with the trash can. You know, let people find out more about that. But are there a couple other objects, characters in the play that you have particular affection for, having gone through the play?
One of them is there's a deer. Mm-hmm. And I used to live with deer around me, and I kind of know what it's like when a deer spots you and everybody freezes. And so we play it that way. And I enjoy it becomes a deer. Mm-hmm. I've developed affection for every single one of them.
Yes, and they may be listening. So we,
but I really have. I mean, mm-hmm. there are insects that I really care about. There's a flower that I mm-hmm. think has quite a challenge in life, and I really identify with what she's having to deal with. And mm-hmm. I feel bad about the little animal in the road when a truck is heading towards it.
Yes, I think we all feel that. So have you had experience with movement theater before?
I have not.
But obviously, it feels natural to you, and Elsa saw something in your audition.
And Charlie doesn't move nearly as much as everybody else.
Okay.
On the other hand, that's a good thing. Yeah. But I have been doing all the movement exercises mm-hmm. with the rest of the cast, and I'm learning a lot from that.
And it's been important, I think, because it makes Charlie not an outsider or Patricia an outsider from the ensemble. I mean, she does all the movement exercises. We have, similar to a dance company, we have a class before each rehearsal that can last anywhere from 30 to 45 minutes, and she's right there with the rest of the ensemble.
A movement class. Mm-hmm. And what kinds of things do you do in that class?
Well, we're exploring Rudolf Laban, who was a turn-of-the-century choreographer who actually started to implement his techniques with theater. And so we do Laban techniques, and we do Suzuki, which is Tadashi Suzuki. He's a contemporary movement-based theater practitioner. And it's interesting because it's just kind of all about the awareness of where your body is in relation to the earth and other bodies. And just because a lot of times they have to move in tandem without speaking. So it's really about kind of a group think mentality or a group breathing mentality. Mm-hmm. So it's been wonderful, a wonderful process.
Mm. And did you mention that Stephen Cooper is in
yes.
the play? And he's quite versed in that too. He's licensed, I think,
He's a fight choreographer, mm-hmm. as is Andrew Hunter and Brady. So it's been nice having people there who, and you know, Desiree Noriega has been taught Laban. And so it's been nice having people with different backgrounds. Maybe they don't have the language yet, mm-hmm. but they have an awareness of their body. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. it's been wonderful.
Well, I can imagine, I think we talked about whether you go around the world seeing things a little bit differently, but I can imagine everyone in the play approaching the natural world in a much more mindful, attentive way after being in this production.
I think so. And one of the things that Laban says is that, whenever you move through space, you move directly or indirectly, heavy or light, or slow or fast. And so everything can be identified through that. And several of them have commented to me that they're much more aware of those three elements. You know, maybe they don't have the, figured out exactly what it is, but you know that they're more aware of how they're moving through space. Hmm. So
this could be the new yoga.
Maybe so.
You might have people out there listening going, I think she should teach that class to all of us, not just to actors and actresses.
Maybe so.
Again, if you are just tuning in, we're talking about the play We All Do by Jaron Schechtsnyder. It will open next Wednesday at the Feed and Seed in Lafayette, right near the railroad tracks and the underpass. Easy to find and get to. And it is a performance space. And is there an actual stage there, or how will it be set up inside?
There is a stage that they've used for bands. They have not had a theatrical production there, so we'll be the first. And we are actually taking the stage out because it's so much movement, but it's nice because we can move the space around as we need to.
Mm-hmm,
so,
mm-hmm. And about how many seats will be available for people?
Somewhere between 40 and 50.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and how do people get tickets for this performance?
They can go online to Eventbrite. It's weallddo.eventbrite.com, or they can call 504-5367.
All right, so we'll have that information here as well and keep announcing it. And do you all have a Facebook presence?
Absolutely. It's facebook.com/wanderlusttheater, and we also have a website, wanderlusttheater.com.
All right, and you have photographs up of some of your...
Oh, absolutely. There's tons of galleries on the website.
So you can check that website or Facebook page out and see photographs of Charlie and her relationships with various... What do you call them? Do you say creatures, characters?
I think just characters.
Characters. Mm-hmm. The characters from the natural world, all the way from trash can to leaves to trees to clouds that Charlie interacts with. And when you think about it, it's really not such a strange thing, is it?
Not really.
As we move through the world, Laban-like or not. Again, my guest, Elsa Dimitriadis, who is the co-founder and co-director, along with Brady McKellar, of Wanderlust Theater Company, and Patricia Drury Sidman, who plays Charlie in the play We All Do. Again, it opens next Wednesday and will run for how many performances?
Wednesday through Sunday. Sunday's a matinee.
All right, so just next week, and
yes, ma'am.
You may want to get your tickets for that now, because it doesn't sound like there are a lot of seats.
Limited seating, so I would encourage people to call and at least make reservations, if not purchase tickets online.
All right, and again, the Facebook is Wanderlust Theater.
Mm-hmm.
All right, you can find out information there. Thank you both, Patricia and Elsa.
Thank you, Judith.